Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back. Hour number two, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, your host out here in Las Vegas. Your other host is Josh Applebaum out in Boston. Josh, at what point do we get a snow out? I mean, it was coming down pretty heavily during the break out there in Minnesota. Tied game 2-2. We're looking at the bottom of the fifth for the Boston Red Sox and Minnesota Twins.
The wind, you know, is it blowing one way or the other? If you're on an over or an under, that can be very important. But, Pritch, I'm happy to announce my sweats, we got a tie game here, Pritch. Sox were down 2-0. I was getting nervous. We had a home run from Hunter Renfro. Bobby Dalbec hit a double to right. So we're tied up here. The sweat is real if you're holding the Red Sox. Hopefully, maybe you got a higher number than 115. You might have gotten plus 130 a little bit earlier. But this one's tight, Pritch, and go Sox. I'm holding the Sox
ticket. All right. We'll cheer for the Sox as well. Phillies and the Mets, they have a doubleheader, Josh. I'm looking at the lines for both games already. So advice for the casual bettor out there right now, when you're looking at these games, approaching them, game one, we have the Phillies plus 142 on the road. Let's start with there. Let's break down that game before we get to game two. That's going to be taking place after that first game, obviously, in that doubleheader.
Yeah, so I think, you know, one thing to mention just in terms of betting doubleheaders in general, a couple rules of thumb that I look toward anytime I'm betting a doubleheader. Of course, you know, you can apply the first game, you know, based on line movement, whatever you're looking at, you know, divisional dogs, if you have any kind of angles like that. But one thing that's helped me in the past is someone told me a long time ago, and I looked at the research, it's proven out to be true, that there are more sweeps than there are splits when it comes to doubleheaders. Okay. You hear a lot of people talk about this and say, you know, hey, whoever lost the first game, bet them the second game. They'll be mad. They'll have a good effort. They'll come back and win. Or if you won the first game, you'll say, hey, I already got a win. I don't care much about the second game. I'll lay off that one. But normally you do see a tendency toward these, you know, toward these sweeps more than splits. So keep that in mind, depending on who wins this first game. We actually saw it, I think last week it was the Braves and the Nats. At the time, I think the Braves were, they didn't have a win on the season, and they swept that doubleheader. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're playing seven-inning games now, which obviously is a carryover rule from last year. The other thing aside from sweeps is that favorites do very well in game two of a doubleheader, because you also got to remember that, you know, depending on how the first game went, maybe you're resting guys in game two. Also, maybe your bullpen got taxed in the first game, or your closer got a save and now he's not available for game two. Those are just the little things you got to keep in mind here. You know, I'll be honest with you, Pritch, I'm having a tough time looking at these lines for these first game and second game. They're all over the place. So one thing that I would look at is maybe divisional dog opportunities, because you have seen, you know, in these divisional games, getting plus money, the built-in familiarity that has benefited, obviously, the dog in these spots. Mm-hmm. But remember, sweeps, game two favorites, these are some just rule of thumb things. Doesn't happen every time. Doesn't mean it'll always cash, but they have been historically kind of the smarter side to bet on.
Just a guess on my part, though, but could the lines be set to be based on who's pitching, who's on a bump?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Pritch. Yeah, you always know that, you know, the pitchers have the biggest impact on the way a line is set, because we talk about the pitcher in baseball, he's got the ball in his hand every single pitch, and whether he performs well or doesn't, you know, in one way or the other, is going to have the biggest impact. Just as, you know, a quarterback touches the ball every time, a hockey goalie is really, really important to the line here. So again, these pitching matchups have a huge impact on the way these lines are set. Then you can get into, hey, maybe a live betting opportunity or a bullpen game. But of course, that starting pitcher matchup has a massive influence on what the odds makers throw out there.
Okay, let's go with the Yankees and the Blue Jays. Ryu facing the Yankees once again, this time at home in Florida. But Ryu, strong performance last time out. You got the favorite, Toronto Blue Jays, minus 113 at home. The total is 9.
So, Pritch, you're totally right. This is important. You got to remember, the Jays are not playing at the Rogers Center in Toronto. They were kicked out of Canada because of COVID. You know, and what we've seen is the Jays are playing in Dunedin, Florida. So, again, you know, I actually kind of forgot about that. I was saying, hey, what's the you know, what's the deal with the roof at the Rogers Center? But no, it's down in Florida. You do see this total of 9. The over is juiced up minus 120. So okay. I think there is wind blowing out. It's like a perfect day, 70 degrees in Florida. So the weather does benefit an over here. What I like, Pritch, is I like the Yankees here. You know, I'm a Sox fan, but I'll bet on the Yanks if they're sharp, even though I was raised to always dislike the Yankees. but I like this spot the Yankees are in. It's very rare that you get New York as not a huge public play and getting plus money. It almost never happens. The Yankees are almost always a huge popular bet every time, laying big money or laying a big chalk number. Well, I go with this one, Pritch. Yankees have a good line move in their favor. They won yesterday. They got a win. I think they were minus 190. They won 3-1 there. But this would match with the Yankees playing better as of late. They've won two straight. Toronto's really struggled. They're 1-4 their last five, and I think they're missing George Springer. He's a guy they paid a lot of money to as a free agent. They're still waiting for him to get in, to get healthy and get in the lineup here. But the Toronto Blue Jays, they opened here, Pritch, like minus 120. They're down to minus 113. Mm-hmm. A lot of these shops are even down to like minus 110. So it tells me movement toward the Yankees, you know, if you can still find some plus money, they went from around plus 110, now down to plus 103. And this is the type of movement I like when I'm betting a dog. A short line where the odds makers are saying, again, slight favorite, Jays, but it's not like the Jays are minus 200, so it could be a coin flip spot. The line's moving to the Yankees. This would match a couple systems I like. Dogs off a win, taking some momentum from the previous day. Divisional dogs with high totals and dogs with line moves in general. And here's the an added benefit here, Pritch. Ryu did pitch pretty well there in that first game in Yankee Stadium against the Yankees. But if you look at the last 3 years, Yankees have mashed pretty good against lefties. They're 71-41 against left-handed starting pitching, about 65%. So I'll take some plus money here with the Yankees, see if they can get it done. Even though I'm a Sox fan, I will be rooting for the Yankees in this one.
Okay, because I was going to look at that divisional dog high total, but you said the total is kind of juiced up to the over here. But yet, Ryu, I mean, he's been pitching well, and certainly the Blue Jays, they're not intimidated by the Yankees, that's for sure.
Yeah, you're totally right here, Pritch. And by the way, my man, you're getting good. You're picking up all these edges. I love it, my friend. But you are totally right. This would be divisional dog angle with the Yankees. And that would still be, even though the total is juiced up over, anything 8.5 or higher would be a high total. So that would benefit the Yankees in this spot. Also, you know, if Ryu pitches a gem, yeah, I think the Jays want to keep this thing in a lower scoring game. You know, they don't want to get into a, you know, a home run hitting contest with the Yankees, because you're going to lose most of those games. But yeah, some system matches would point toward New York, and off of yesterday's win, dog off a win here, that would be another system match toward the Bronx Bombers.
Okay, how about the Reds and the Giants? The Reds on the road here, they are even. The total 7.5.
The Red Legs are one of my favorite, like, under the radar teams to bet on. I'll be honest with you, Pritch. I like the spot that Cincinnati's in here. They had a win yesterday, pretty big win. I think they won 3-0. They were they had some sharp movement last night as well. They were around plus 110, plus 105 to around like minus 105. But again, these numbers are important when you're tracking line movement, because there are games that aren't as popular, but still sharps are targeting. That's I think what's happening again here tonight. But what I like with this one, Pritch, is it kind of is like too good to be true. Kind of this line is a little fishy to me. You have San Fran with their ace on the mound, Kevin Gausman. He's 0-0, but he's got a 1.32 ERA. They're at home with their ace, and they're playing Castillo on the Reds, and Castillo has got almost a 7 ERA. He hasn't pitched that well to start the season, but big majority of bets are on San Fran at home with their ace on the mound.
Okay.
Yet they only open minus 115, Pritch. So why is this line so short if you would think these advantages are with the Giants here? Despite that, this line is dropping. So the Giants have gone, you know, minus 115 down to, I'm seeing a lot of shops like minus 110 now. So line is moving toward the Reds here. And you really are hoping that the Reds, their bats stay hot, because Reds are hitting 277 this year. That's fourth best in all of baseball. And their OPS is 857. Mm-hmm. That's number one in all of baseball. So these dogs with a line move, it's about a 12% ROI toward these dogs with a line move. So I'll be taking the Reds here once again, Pritch. I like this movement, kind of a coin flip game. I'll take the hot bats with Cincinnati.
Ace or no ace, 18 home runs too for the Reds. I think that leads the majors as well. Or tied with the Astros. I mean,
yeah,
they're mowing down aces right now.
They are. And I think, you know, again, it's early. So will the Reds finish the season number one in batting? Maybe, probably not, though. But it just kind of goes to show you, you know, if you're looking at, and what I would say, too, is like all this stuff is built into the line. You know, odds makers know that the Reds are, you know, hitting the cover off the ball right now. That comes into play when they're setting these numbers. But I think when you're trying to build a case for a game, why you want to bet on a game. These are the little boxes you want to check off to say, hey, you know, what am I rooting for in this game? You know, I'm kind of rooting against the ace on the mound home favorite with a fishy line, and I'm rooting for the fact that, you know, the Reds have swung the bat pretty well thus far. So all these factors are important. But remember, it's not like you're the only one who knows this. The odds makers, you right. know, applied this when they set the number.
You know, I'm looking forward to this next game, Marlins Braves. But I think we're missing the grudge at a match between these two. I want the Marlins to kind of pick it up here. Add some grudge to this. Miami's plus 150, 7.5 is a total.
No, I do too, Pritch. And I wanted you to mention this one because if you're looking for a hazmat dog, this to me is a Marlins play.
So this
today.
Is the one? So- okay.
This is it. This is the one that I was hoping we would get to. So I was hoping I didn't have to save it till the end. So we got a little time to talk about it here, Pritch. But a couple things here. Number one, you've had a big line move toward the Marlins. A lot of these books open with Max Fried on the mound, who got kind of lit up early, a couple of his early starts here. I don't know if he's had one or two, but I think his ERA is kind of like high 5.6 or something. Lopez has pitched pretty good. But what I like about this one, Pritch, the Braves opened around minus 185. They're all the way down to minus 160. Okay. Now, you could say to yourself, who cares? They're still a pretty hefty favorite. But a 25-cent move in baseball, that's pretty notable. That's not, you know, $5 bets coming in at different books. That's heavy money coming in on the Marlins. So the Marlins going from around plus 170 now to plus 150, that would match a lot of systems for me. Big line move, big steam. You know, when you have big steam so far this year, 10 cents or more, you're winning at a pretty good clip here, even with these dogs. You know, you're like 51%, but still with these plus money payouts doing well. So not only do you have a divisional dog, the only bad thing, Pritch, is a low total game. That's not good for a dog. So that low total, I guess, would benefit the Braves here. But my angle is not only is this line moving to the Marlins, but something that I kind of like mentioning is gambler's fallacy. And it applies here to the Braves because gambler's fallacy says the Braves are a good team, the Marlins stink, and the Braves lost last night, and they're going to be really inclined to, you know, play great and win it today. Basically, they're due. The Braves are due to win this game. Now, they may win this game. They are the favorite. The odds makers are expecting them to win. But I think the value with Miami, the fact that, you know, they came back yesterday, extra innings. They won that game 5-3 as a sharp dog as well. I love the fact that everyone is betting the Braves to bounce back. The Braves got to win today, Pritch. But that's when you get into dangerous. That's when it gets a little dicey here. You never want to bet on what's due or what you think is supposed to happen. You're betting the game that's played on the field that night. And the fact the line's over the Marlins, I have no problem taking a shot here on the fish, getting a plus money payout with some dog off a win, with some divisional dog angles. So you have some time to think about it, Pritch.
Oh, I'm thinking.
This is enticing to me. This one jumped out to me just because big moves like that are kind of rare, you know, 20 cents toward the dog.
Yeah, I mean, it's not too early, too, for these two teams to get after it. I mean, there's history here, as we know. Recent history, if you think about just a few months ago. So I like to see them get after it if they can. Plus 150, huh, for the Marlins. It's not that gross as you laid that out, though, Josh.
No, it's totally true. And I would say, you know, another game from yesterday, Pritch, is the importance of not getting down on a game that looks like a sure thing. Pritch, I'm not sure if you saw Detroit-Houston last night, but Detroit Tigers, yeah, they were like, I think they're like plus 210, plus 220, heavy betting on Houston at home. Tigers win 6-2. Mm-hmm. All I'm getting at here is just the fact that baseball is the kind of sport where you see more big upsets. Like in the NFL, it's very rare that, you know, a 10-point dog or a 14-point dog wins outright. They may cover the number. But in baseball, it is the kind of game. It's played every day. There's crazy things that happen. There's more upsets than usual. That's what my recommendation to new bettors would be, you know, it looks like the Astros were a sure thing last night. And a lot of times they do win in those spots, but they're not going to win enough long term to make it worth your while because the ones that you lose, you really get cleaned out. So we're hoping for this, hoping the Marlins kind of keep this thing going and beat Atlanta tonight.
William Hill talked about that with Kershaw opening up against the Rockies on the road. Rockies, what their win total is 63.5, but yet they beat Kershaw. You know, a lot of casual bettors might have just ran, let's bet Kershaw, he's on the bump against the Rockies. And lo and behold, you kind of lose that ticket right there. How about the Angels and the Royals? The Angels, I think, turning everybody into truth slayers here when they talk about the Angels probably going to the playoffs. 7-3 so far, a good start to the season, minus 132 in this one.
Yeah, Angels are off to a great start, Pitch. We've been waiting years and years and years for the Angels to get it going. They always have Mike Trout, but they got nothing, you know, around him to get to the playoffs. But maybe it's different this year. Ohtani's been playing great.
Ohtani, I know, right?
Yeah, he's been awesome. And I like the Angels here laying this number. You know, they've won 3 out of 4. You've seen KC lose 3 out of 4. And what I like is this is kind of what I call kind of like a moderate short favorite that becomes more of a favorite. Okay. So the Angels with who are they pitching tonight? Bundy against Duffy, lefty for the Royals. But you saw this line open. You know, Angels were around -125. They're now up to -132. This line is creeping up in their favor. And what I like is this is a non-division favorite. If I'm betting a favorite, I want to get as far away from that divisional dog edge as I can. The lack of familiarity sometimes benefits, quote unquote, the better team when it's a non-division game. So that would be a little bit of an angle. You got a bit of a line move here. I'd look at the Halos, you know, game one here, maybe getting it done against Duffy and the Royals.
Yeah, I'm trying to look for this expected lineup here, Josh, for Ohtani. Yep, he's hitting .200 as a designated hitter or right in front of Trout. So good luck with that, yeah. Duffy.
Yeah, seriously, that's going to be a tough lineup. And they can mix and match here, seriously. The other thing is Rendon, you know, he's injured. You know, they gave a lot of money to him. But keep an eye on this guy, Jared Walsh. He's a first base or right field. This guy has been raking. I'm going to drop another DFS note here, but here's a guy that I like to target here if you're looking at possible, you know, value from hitters.
Yeah, how about this for the Angels? Ohtani 2, Trout 3, Upton 4, Walsh 5 right there in that lineup. Good luck with
Pujols,
that, Duffy.
100 years old. Pujols hitting, 6?
Yeah, like he's 100 years old. It is 6. I like that. Up next, some hockey from Josh Applebaum. Life is a marathon, not a sprint, unless you're hiring. Fortunately, Indeed has great tools that help speed up the hiring process. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum are your hosts today. Josh, we still have a 2-2 tie, Minnesota-Boston, no snow. But I give credit to Boston, like their pitchers. I think they've had a meeting in the dugout. They don't have long sleeves on, even though it's snowing and it's cold out there. I mean, every pitcher for Boston right now trying to show how tough they are.
Oh, I know. In baseball, it's a real manly sport here, Fitch. Yeah, you got to, you know what? Give me the sleeves all day.
I'm telling you.
Coming from a non-athlete or a high school athlete, I guess. But you are right, Pritch. But this just goes to show you early in the season. Keep an eye out on the weather. Well, you know, depending on weather resource you're looking at, if it's cold out, obviously that's going to benefit a little bit to the under here. The ball doesn't carry as much. So these little things, you don't expect to see snow on an April day here in mid-April, but it just goes to show you, these are the factors you want to be aware of when you're coming in and getting down on a game.
Sure. Indicator too for the Bo Sox in terms of culture. Like, if you can have everybody be on the same page, okay, we're going to show how tough we are. We're not going to have long sleeves. We're not going to show that we're cold out here as pitchers. You never know, right?
Yeah, I think it's a great point. I know Steph, a fellow Massachusetts, a masshole, if I can say that, with all the love of my heart. But, we both like that over 80 wins for the one reason is Alex Cora. Alex Cora, obviously helped them win the World Series there in 2018, then got caught in the cheating scandal, missed the whole year. But a big difference that a manager can make, a former player who can really speak to a lot of the younger guys and get the team going. These are the little X factors where, I'll be honest, Pritch, my over 80 looked really bad after that first series when the Sox started 0-3, but really starting to get it going here. Again, building culture and getting a team that is just excited to come to the ballpark every day. That's an X factor that may not show up in the betting lines, but, is something that you want to bank on and maybe keep in mind when you're betting these games.
Yeah, I've made a note of that about the Boston Red Sox right there. How about the Rangers and the New Jersey Devils? Hockey, Josh Applebaum. We have New Jersey at home +160.
Yeah, looking at the NHL, I think right now is a good time to kind of talk about and think about what happened at the trade deadline. So,
Right.
trade deadline just went past us in the NHL here, and I think you're getting into a situation where you're looking at what did these teams do, and why is that important? Because tanking is really notorious in in the NBA, because if you tank for a good player, a number one overall pick could change the direction of your franchise. Like you're trying to get Cade Cunningham right now, or Jalen Suggs, or Evan Mobley. Some of these guys. Hockey, it's different because sometimes the number one overall pick, if it's like Ovechkin or Sidney Crosby, it can make a huge difference. But we see a lot of guys flame out. You don't really see as much tanking there. But I like to know who improved themselves and who didn't. And I think this is a spot where I kind of like betting against the Devils here. So I'd be looking at laying the money line price here with the Rangers. The Rangers opened around -170. They've gotten steamed up all the way to -180, and it looks like this line may continue to creep up as we speak. And you look at the Devils, they traded away Kyle Palmieri. They traded away Travis Zajac. Palmieri was probably their number one goal scorer. They also traded away Dmitry Kulikov, one of their good defensemen here. So this would match to me as kind of a bet against the Devils play, who've gotten rid of a lot of guys at the deadline, and a Rangers team that's been playing better as of late. This would match to me. Both teams off a loss take the favorite, 68%. Also, favorite off a loss made the playoffs last year, 65%. And here's the one that I really like, a favorite -150 or more with a high total in hockey. A high total to me is like six goals or more. Those teams are 70% this year. So it's a big number here, Pritch. But laying the -180, I'd look toward backing the Rangers and betting against a Devils team that really got rid of a lot of their players at the deadline.
Okay, I understand that. How about Florida -120 against Dallas? Dallas, they have not had the season, the ideal seasons for sure. But yet, maybe from cashing a ticket standpoint, Florida just -120.
Yeah, I like Florida here, Pritch. I think you're buying low on Florida. They've struggled recently. They've lost three in a row. And if it wasn't for that, I think this line would be closer to, I don't know, -140, a higher number here. But you look at Florida, they opened around a -110, very, very short, kind of pick 'em slight favorite. Now they're up to -120. I think this is a later game, 8:30, last game of the night, that might be getting overlooked a bit here. But I think the fact that you're buying low on Florida off these three losses, you're going to get a pretty good effort out of them tonight. So this would match to me. Road dog with a line move, 62% this year. Also a favorite versus a tired team. Basically, the Stars have played more games in the last 5 days than the Panthers had. That would be a match here, 62%, and a favorite off a loss in general, 64%. So give me the Panthers here, Pritch. Let's see if we can get a win and snap this losing skid.
Okay, sounds good to me. We have one more game in hockey I want to get to, maybe a chance to cash a ticket on that one, as well as more Major League Baseball games, some NBA updates as well. So stay tuned. We got so much more to get to here. And if we have time, we're going to dabble or look at some updated NFL MVP odds as well. Stay tuned. All that and more coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Sports betting action this spring is just getting started, and our VSiN experts are covering early season baseball trends, NHL and NBA playoff races. Plus, we're looking at all the key picks and predictions for the NFL draft. We give you all the tools to cash more tickets, including our 24/7 video coverage. Complete odds and analysis of every game on VSiN.com, our daily members only. Best bet emails and in-depth coverage of every sport and point spread weekly. The weather and the betting action is heating up, and now is the time to sign up for your VSiN 10-day free trial at vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum, your host today. Josh, cleaning up and finishing up the hockey schedule. Flyers and the Capitals. So as a bettor, I mean, I know where the Washington Capitals are right now as a team. One of the best teams. 6.5 is a total. They're -155. So are the books adding into the equation that, look, the Capitals might not be motivated against the Flyers?
Yeah, I think that could be a factor here, Pritch. You know, what was interesting to me, Capitals actually made a pretty big move. They added Anthony Mantha, big guys, like 6'5", 220, big goal scorer. They gave up like a first-round pick, a bunch of these other kind of depth guys, but that was one big move. I don't think he's going to be in the lineup tonight, but I do like this spot actually buying low on the Capitals. So if you look at Washington, this isn't a huge line move type play. You know, line's kind of stayed where it's at. Some books were like minus 147 up to minus 155. Some were like minus 160 down here to minus 150. So not a huge line move type system match. But what I like about this one, Pritch, Caps have been fantastic at home. This would match as one of the best home teams to bet on in the NHL this year. You also look at the Caps. They're coming off a big win against my Bruins. They beat them 8-1. My Bees had a ton of guys out that game. They absolutely crushed them here. But this is also a Flyers team that, you know, made a couple moves here. I think they got rid of a couple guys, at least Raffle, and I think one other guy at the deadline. But they're kind of on the edge here. This is a Caps team that has won two straight. Flyers have lost 3 of 4. Flyers have played more games in the last 5 days than the Caps have. So maybe you have a little bit of rest versus Russ type situation here. Also, if you're going to get either Brian Elliott or Carter Hart. Carter Hart's been getting lit up a lot this year, so you kind of want him in net here. But with the Caps, they match for me buying low on a really good home team. Home favorites, minus 150 or more this year, are 127 and 55, 70%.
Wow.
About a 5% ROI. They've done really well here, Pritch. And then also your favorite against a tired team, 66% this year, and your big fave, minus 150 or more with a total of 6 or higher, 70%. That's a 90 and 39 system play. So I know it's chalky here, but, you know, hockey's the one sport where I go chalk more often than I do in other sports. I'm usually a dog guy, but hockey, there's really no contrarian value to bet on a dog, and you do see favorites, especially with these rested systems or line move systems, do pretty well historically. So I'm a Caps guy tonight, Pritch, laying the 155.
Yeah, maybe not too expensive, minus 155 for the Capitals right there. How about turning our attention to baseball? You got the Indians versus the White Sox. Now, I'm confused with the White Sox so far. I thought they're going to be better than this, but I mean, it's early, right? 5-5 record so far. At times look a little shaky too, but here you go. 6.5 is a total, minus 105 at home.
Yeah, this one's intriguing because it's pretty much a pick 'em game, Pritch, and that always catches my eye because, again, you know, you can kind of take advantage of, depending on what side you like, you're laying a very short number. You're almost even money here, both sides. So we did see the White Sox last night. They beat Cleveland 4-3. They're a minus 120 favorite. They got I was actually kind of annoyed. I had a ticket there on the Cleveland Indians last night. And here's one thing to always keep in mind. When you're betting baseball, always try to bet listed pitcher, not action. This is important, Pritch, because if you have a guy who's scratched, basically what happens is if you bet listed pitchers, the bet gets voided. So, for example, if you bet the Cleveland Indians last night and you had that scratch where Rodon got scratched for White Sox, they put in Keuchel, that bet is voided. So even though Indians lost the game, and a lot of people on my podcast, they reached out and said, I'm kind of happy. I thought I bet the Indians, but I didn't lose my bet. What happened? It's because you're lucky enough to get listed pitcher. That way, when the scratch came, your bet got voided. You got the money back there. So keep that in mind. Always try to bet listed pitcher, not action. It'll save you from losing games when a pitcher being scratched doesn't go your way. But for tonight here, Pritch, I like the White Sox.
Okay.
You know, it's a great pitching matchup here. It's Bieber against Giolito, two aces. Obviously, a really low total here. Some of these are 7.5 all the way down to 6.5. A lot of money on the under here. It's tough because you're getting the worst of it now after it's fallen. But to me, my only angle really is that the Biebs is a huge public favorite tonight, coming off of Cy Young here. I think you're buying low on Giolito. And basically, you have heavy betting on the Indians, yet some of these books open Cleveland kind of a short minus 110 favorite. So I know it's not a huge line move, but even though the big majority of bets are on the Biebs here and Cleveland, this line is moving to the White Sox. So it kind of makes me want to buy low on Giolito here at home. Which again, you know, great pitching matchup, but I think we may be underselling Giolito and the way he's progressed in the last few years.
I agree with that. I mean, Giolito 6.5. So that's the normal, total, I would think, as opposed to the inflated totals that we saw earlier this year. I mean, just the beginning of the year. And by the way, I think you used up your quota for Biebs.
I did.
You dropped twice. You did twice.
Yeah, just to see if anyone would notice, anyone would call me on it. So look, that's my, if over 1.5 on the Biebs, you cash,
right,
congrats.
Right, yeah, we're cashing right now with Biebs. Updating a score in the NBA, the Nets on top of Minnesota 33-25. in the second quarter right there, Josh. The baseball game, too, that you're sweating right now, bottom of the seventh, is 2-2 still, Boston and Minnesota.
Yeah, a lot of options here. And once we finish this show, Pritch, I got to run and sweat the end of this game here. But this one you get into the nail biter, and also live betting opportunities. So Maybe you didn't get in on this game earlier, but now it's 2-2 going into the seventh. Again, it's up to you which side you think value is on here at this point. But I would also keep in mind that, you know, in the olden days, we had to bet a game what Gil Alexander would say pre-flop before the game starts. Uh-huh. Luckily, in today's day and age, we can go live betting. So if you like one way or the other, late game, maybe the live line total, live line either way, those options are available to you if you see these tied games late.
Yeah, and then with the stoppage in baseball, too, you got opportunities from a in-game perspective. You know, football, sometimes I ran against that. I ran up into that situation where I'm trying to get an in-game situation with football, but yet I wasn't quick enough.
Yeah, exactly. These lines change so quickly. Mm-hmm. I think NBA, a lot of people will probably agree with this, Pritch, is the best sport to bet on in-game.
Okay.
Just because you can make these big runs. Like, you know, a classic example, when the Warriors had, you know, Klay Thompson and Draymond, all these guys, they would constantly get down, you know, to start the game, like, you know, 10-0. And then the live line here on the Warriors is like even money or plus money. So there's a lot of runs in the NBA. That's the reason why a lot of these live lines can have a lot of value.
Okay, updating some other scores in Major League Baseball, too. Minnesota's on top of the Phillies, 2-0, top of the second. We got Mariners on top of the Orioles, 3-0. And the Diamondbacks on top of the A's, 3-0, as well as that 2-2 tie game. Minnesota and Boston. When we continue with the show, a great guest, he's a great host of ATS Radio, Adam Burke, to help us out with the remaining games in Major League Baseball, and also some plays that he has in the NBA. It's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. BetMGM welcomes you to Showtime with a chance to win $100 for a $1 wager on the Clippers-Pacers game. Just use bonus code VSIN100 and you're on your way to betting with the King of Sportsbooks. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com for more details and use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 if either team hits a three. It's a new customer offer, paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Feel you have a problem, it's 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETSOFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text the red line 800-889-9789. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum are your hosts today, and happy to bring on to the program Adam Burke, host of ATS Radio. Adam, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Captivated by all this baseball. We love the baseball in the daytime on the show as well. We get to sweat. Josh Applebaum has a sweat right now. So I don't know if you're surprised by the Reds, Adam, but maybe a lot of people might be. Reds, Giants, your take on this game?
Yeah, I'm not so much surprised by the Reds pitching, but the Reds offense has been much better than I anticipated here so far. And one of the things I think I mentioned on my segment last week was how the Reds have been really, really good with runners in scoring position. Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of relaxed a little bit over the weekend, and they, you know, kind of struggled a little bit in that series against Arizona. And tonight I'm looking at the first five under in this game between the Reds and the Giants. Luis Castillo and Kevin Gausman, two guys I'm very, very high on for this season. Castillo, in fact, the guy that I thought had a really good chance at being one of the finalists for the National League Cy Young. Lots of strikeouts, lots of ground balls, pretty good at limiting hard contact. And what the Reds have done over the last couple of years with him is they've really tried to work on his walk rate and also his command and lowering his home run rate. Both of those things seem to be a success here for him over the last year and a half or so. So I think he'll be good in this matchup tonight. And I think Kevin Gausman is a guy that, you know, he throws hard. He throws in the upper half of the zone with the fastball, breaks off that good splitter, changes eye levels really well, keeps hitters off balance. I think we get a slow start to this one tonight. So I like the under 3.5 for the first five.
Adam, it's great to have you on the program once again here. I want to get your thoughts on the Angels and KC and kind of a bigger question about the Angels this year and obviously the game tonight. You know, Pritch and I were talking, the Angels have been waiting forever to have a competitive team with Trout. Seems like they pay for these big free agents. It never works out. Trout wins the MVP, but they never make the playoffs. So we have seen them play pretty good thus far, 7-3. They're now going to KC to go up against Duffy. They have Dylan Bundy on the mound. We were talking earlier a little bit of line move here to the Angels. They went from like minus 125, now creeping up to around minus 135. But what do you think of the Angels tonight? Do you like them against KC? And do you think this is a team that is going to fight for a playoff berth, throughout the season?
Yeah, I do like the Angels tonight. I'll answer sort of the macro question first in terms of the Angels for the full season. I think offensively they're really good. I think the pitching staff has some questions, specifically the starting rotation, where you've got a lot of health concerns. You know, Andrew Heaney is a guy that doesn't stay healthy. Griffin Canning has had some issues kind of pop up here over the last couple of seasons. And obviously Shohei Ohtani. I mean, you know, you don't know how long he's going to be out there. Alex Cobb, another guy with injury questions. So that's sort of the thing for me with regards to the Angels. Will this pitching staff stay healthy? Because I think they're going to hit. You know, they've made a lot of hard contact here in the early part of the season with Trout and Rendon, one of the best 1-2 punches in the middle of the order in all of baseball. For as long as Ohtani's healthy, we all know what he can do at the plate. Max Stassi, who actually just went on the DL here today, which is a little bit disappointing for me. But he's a guy who makes a lot of hard contact, a guy that hits the ball very, very well, especially for his position. So I think the Angels offensively are here to stay. I think Jared Walsh is a really nice addition to that lineup as well. The question to me is the pitching staff and, more importantly, the health of that pitching staff, because the rotation is good if everybody's healthy, but the bullpen is not a group that I like a whole lot. So they really need those starting pitchers to be healthy. And I do really like Dylan Bundy, who's going tonight.
We're speaking with Adam Burke, host of ATS Radio. You can follow him on Twitter at @SkatingTripods. On Twitter. Adam, a follow-up to that situation with the Angels. What do you do with Ohtani? Because he's throwing 100, and he had the hardest hit ball in baseball this year. So, I mean, you want him in your lineup for sure, but yet you also, like you said, you want to keep that rotation intact.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how Joe Maddon kind of threads the needle there, because they're already pretty much going with a six-man rotation, and that'll help Ohtani out quite a bit, at least as long as everybody else in that rotation is still healthy. You know, it seems like he hasn't had too many side effects from hitting. You know, okay, it's mostly been the pitching side with the UCL damage and all of that. So I think you keep his bat in the lineup. If you have to skip some starts with him, I think you can definitely do that, especially running this six-man rotation already, where they can either just slot in a new guy, maybe go with an opener, or just kind of skip that turn and kind of limit his innings that way. So I think they'll be creative with it, but you know, Gammy is one of the most exciting players in baseball, so I certainly hope that he's able to stick it out through the whole year.
Adam, would love to get your take on a game on the south side here in Chicago. The White Sox against Cleveland, divisional game, great pitching matchup, Bieber and Giolito. And kind of what we've seen is a little bit of movement toward the White Sox. You know, this was kind of a pick'em type game from the start. We mentioned, you know, last segment, it was like minus 110 Cleveland. Now it's moving a little bit toward the White Sox. But basically a pick'em type game with two aces on the mound. How do you cap this game? Do you like, you know, riding the White Sox off a win last night, or do you think this is a good bounce back spot for the Tribe?
Yeah, I do lean Chicago a little bit in this game. You've got this low total here of 6.5. Both starting pitchers should be excellent. Could wind up being a bullpen game. But Shane Bieber has allowed a little bit of hard contact this year. And in fact, he allowed some hard contact last year too. It's just that he doesn't allow a lot of contact. He strikes out a lot of the hitters that he faces, but he's been a little bit erratic early in his starts so far this season. I gave up the two-run homer early on opening day. And he's just kind of had some trouble finding that release point early in the game. The Indians don't hit Giolito, and I'm not a big guy on pitcher versus team splits or anything like that. But being an Indians fan, I know the guys that they don't match up well with, and Giolito is one of them. They cannot hit guys that throw an above-average changeup, and Giolito's might be the best in baseball. So I think Chicago gets to play from in front in this game tonight, and because of that, I lean with Chicago. But it's very hard for me to pick a side usually in an ace versus ace matchup, simply because both guys just could end up pitching really, really well. And that just becomes a bullpen battle late.
You know, Adam, Josh and I were talking about this game earlier, Yankees in Toronto. Ryu's on a bump, but he's facing this lineup again. I don't think the Blue Jays, they are intimidated by the Yankees at all, but a chance for bettors to have the Yankees as a road dog against the Blue Jays here. That total is 9. Your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I actually like the under in this game, and I kind of gave some thought to the Yankees, but with Jameson Taillon in just his second start since 2019, a little bit leery about taking the Yankees side in this one. But I do think both pitchers match up pretty well against these lineups, about as well as you can against teams as potent as Toronto and New York. And the thing, you know, Ryu is just, he's a guy that limits hard contact. He's got such great command, mixes 4 different pitches. He's actually throwing more changeups and cutters now than he was previously. That's going to limit the hard contact as well. These are things you have to do when you face a Yankees lineup that hits the ball as hard as they do, with as much contact authority as they do. Ryu can keep them off stride. So I like that quite a bit for him in this matchup. And Taillon's a guy that I'm very high on for this season, because a team like the Yankees is high on Taillon. They actively seeked him out in a trade. There's obviously something they like about this kid. And I really like what he did in his first start. Had 7 strikeouts over, I think, 4 2/3. Only gave up a couple solo home runs. The stuff looked good. The velocity was almost there. He's a really, really good pitcher when he's out there. He's just not healthy enough. And some of it's been bad luck. He got cancer. You know, he had hernia surgery. He's had some things kind of happen with him. But I think he's a really, really high upside guy for the Yankees. And I think both of these pitchers have a lot of success tonight. And I like both bullpens as well. So under 9 is a play for me this evening.
Adam, we know you as a wise guy when it comes to baseball, but you do all sports. So I wanted to throw out another opportunity for you to talk an NBA game, because you threw one at us looking at the Hornets and the Lakers. And I said to myself, if he's targeting this one game, it must mean he's got a pretty decent edge on this game. So why don't you talk us through Hornets and Lakers? You have Terry Rozier out. You have a bunch of good guys out for the Lakers, obviously. But this game was like a -1 Hornets. Then it flipped to -1 Lakers. It's maybe going to settle around a pick type situation. What's your angle on this game here tonight?
Yeah, so for the most part, I'm a very low volume guy when it comes to the NBA. But one of the things I do over at ATS.io every week is I put together a situational spots article, sort of looking at the schedule, kind of seeing how some of these things shake out. And one of the ones that jumped out to me tonight was this Lakers Hornets game, because you've got Los Angeles finishing up a 7-game road trip. And usually that last road game can be a little bit of a tough spot for a team, in particular a team as shorthanded as the Lakers are at this point in time. Teams are excited to get back home. It's obviously no fun playing on the road here in this COVID environment. You can't go out with the boys. You can't go to the bars, to the clubs, anything like that. You're very restricted in terms of your movements. So I think a lot of these guys don't really like being on the road that much with what we've got going on right now. So I think with a 7th straight road game here for the Lakers, I think they're partway to the plane in this one. You know, they kind of showed something beating the Nets a couple nights ago. This is a back-to-back with travel for them tonight. I think they just kind of want to get out and just, you know, see what happens when they get back home. So I like the Hornets in this one tonight, largely because of the spot for the Lakers.
All right, we'll look for that game for sure. Adam Burke, host of ATS Radio, lead writer at ATS.io. As always, thanks so much for your time, Adam.
Absolutely, guys. Take care.
And you too. Enjoy the games. Josh, okay, we got the top of the 8th. Boston's got something going here, 3-2.
We got something going. Christian Arroyo doubled to right. Our my guy Bobby Dalbec, who either is going to strike out or hit a bomb, another double to right. So we're 3-2 Sox right now, Fritch. This is a good ending here. Hopefully they don't blow it, but let's go Red Sox.
Yeah, I do love the attitude, though. Sleeveless in terms of the pitching staff for the Red Sox, showing their toughness in this game in the cold.
Fritch, when you were an NFL player and it was freezing cold, did you say, I don't care, I'm wearing no sleeves, or did you say, give me the sleeves?
Oh, hell no. Sleeves? you know what? Vaseline to kind of cover up the pores, too. Even bags over your feet so your toes wouldn't get wet. You had to keep your toes dry and so they wouldn't get cold out there, Josh. So everything to kind of stay warm. That'll do it for us today. We'll see you back here tomorrow. My guys in the desert coming up next.